Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome everyone to the award-winning Red Blue Hoops on your WNIN 88.3. Give us a call as the phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or you can tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Good evening, guys. Happy Thursday. Evan, Walker, Sam,
and Kate.
Yeah, Kate's on the phones tonight. Yes.
Kate is pinch hitting for Burger. Burger's out collecting information for the infamous missing statue.
That's right. CSI investigation.
So speaking of that, Sam, what's the update on your investigation of the missing statue in Bloomington?
The investigation is ongoing, so okay. I will try to have something for you next
week.
It's
a standard answer, isn't it?
It is a standard answer around here.
Trying
so listeners,
keep it mysterious.
You have to continue to tune in for future shows to find out about the missing statue in Bloomington.
And that is the only thing keeping Indiana from winning a national title.
The only thing.
The only thing. That's it.
The only thing. Well, folks, again, thank you for tuning in. Phone lines 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
We have a tremendous amount to cover tonight. It has been a wild week in college basketball, a rough week for Kentucky. But let me give you a quick rundown because this may, I guess, give you an opportunity to get interested about some phone calls or some tweets. But we're going to talk about Kentucky's recent games. IU's one game over the weekend.
Yes.
But the meat grinder that it's been in the top 10 on the road this week has been tremendous.
Incredible.
Had a very special meeting at the NCAA offices last Friday that's intriguing.
It is intriguing. That's a good word.
Let's see. We have some injury updates for both teams. We have players out for both teams, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about referees again. It's been a hot topic this year.
It's
been a very hot topic for the Kentucky basketball fans this week.
Coach K.
A little bit of, Coach K
about
and Duke.
That
saga continues. A little bit of recruiting update. And on and on and on. So
action packed on Red Blue Hoops tonight, Evan. Man,
it is. So since Kentucky played twice since our last show, let's jump right into Kentucky. This past Saturday, we hosted South Carolina in Rupp Arena, and South Carolina brought the number one defense in the nation into Rupp Arena. And Seth Davis, who's been covering college basketball for a number of years and works for CBS still or someone?
CBS. And Big Ten. He does a little bit of everything.
Well, he tweeted out that he predicted Kentucky would not score more than 61 points against South Carolina's number one defense. Well, we ended up scoring 85 points against South Carolina, and that includes the loss of our point guard, De'Aaron Fox, sprained his right ankle.
That's right.
In
saw
the
that.
Early segment of the first half. In addition to that, Isaiah Briscoe, 0 points. So Fox is out. Briscoe, 0 points, and we still score 85 points against the number one defense.
Wait.
Yeah.
Briscoe had 0 points in
zero.
That game. No way.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And Fox was out. So
that's incredible.
Our homeboy Dominique Hawkins from Madison Central up around Richmond, Kentucky, steps in and plays point guard, had 7 assists and 5 points.
That's huge.
Wenyan Gabriel played phenomenal. The freshman starting to really improve. And then Derek Willis played really well. In addition to winning Gabriel.
Did he have a big dunk?
He had a massive poster dunk.
Yeah,
massive poster dunk. So we had a twit. Try that again.
That's right.
We had a tweet come in before the show started from one of our longtime callers, Geraldine, and she was asking about, she saw two completely different UK teams, first half and second half, and what we thought caused that and why there was a transformation. Well, for me, it's easy to answer. De'Aaron Fox got hurt.
Yeah.
And we were discombobulated for a long time. And then Hawkins got the team settled down. Second half, we looked completely different. We still did not have Michael Mulder that night. He was also out, our backup shooting guard.
Yeah.
So Fox out, Mulder out, Briscoe 0 points, still score 85. We have a phone call. We have Wayne. Go ahead.
Hey, Chad. How you doing?
Wait a minute here. You're supposed to be on vacation, bro.
Hey, man, I am. I didn't want to think that I left you guys alone.
You guys, it's awesome. We got fans in Florida right now, Heaven. Can you believe that?
Florida? Are you a snowbird or what?
I'm in Florida right now. I've been enjoying 75-degree temperatures, sitting by the pool, by the ocean, man. Beautiful outside. Got a little sunburn on me today. Feels good.
That's awesome, man.
Well, it's snowing here tonight.
It is.
Well, hey, you guys enjoy.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what's up, man? Give us something.
Well, I just wanted to know if Chad actually had told Evan about my little cream doll. I didn't know if he told him about that or not.
Hold on now. You have a cream doll? This is taking things to a whole new level.
I have a Tom Cream bobblehead.
Yeah.
The last three games, I set him on my shoulder, and I took a picture of myself. I had him whispering in my ear the game scores every time. You know, so I've been telling this to Chad. I've been giving him the lowdown, what Tommy C's been telling him.
That's right.
We're going to win by four, or we're going to win by eight, or where the game is. And the last three games has came true.
It has, actually. I didn't even think about that until he just said
that. Well, the interesting part of the story, it must be true because Tom Crean has a long-standing reputation. He likes to whisper in ears.
He does.
He does that all the time.
He does.
So this story must be true. The bobblehead whispers.
So
the bobblehead whisperer.
So I guess the key then, Wayne, is what has Tommy C. Bobblehead said about tonight at Michigan?
He says we're going to have a tough first half.
Okay.
We're going to be down in the first half, but we're going to win by four.
What's the line tonight's game?
The line, Indiana is underdogs by four.
Is that Walker interning tonight? Is that accurate? Do you know? Yeah, he thinks so. So underdog by four.
We're gonna flip the switch.
I love it.
And we're gonna win by four. So
I love it.
You know, hey, a couple of good things here though. On serious note, you know, Chad, what do you think about Blackman's defense? I think he really last two or three games, although he scored a lot, he seems like he's better and more into the defensive side of the court.
Yes.
I haven't really seen all year long.
Yeah, so I was telling Evan offline that Blackman, I think, is getting healthier and he's getting quicker. He can jump higher. And yes, the last few games, his defense has been not a detriment to our team. He's playing hard. He guarded Bridges a lot at Michigan State, and Bridges ended up, I think, 4 of 17 from the field with 13 points. So he got a few baskets, but he made it hard on him, and that was good.
Yeah. And I really think that, you know, between Rob Johnson and Blackman, these two guys, they got to be the leader of the team. If we're really going to do anything.
I agree.
You know, and even get to the tournament, they got to be the leaders. So
I agree.
Hey, one other thing is for Evan is I know that Fox got hurt. So do you think, in your opinion, that this is going to make the freshman be able to play? I didn't know if he got to play or not.
Diallo.
The guy that came in December. Yeah,
oh, no.
Diallo, is he going to be?
No, Fox actually came back and played at Tennessee this week. And Diallo is still, at this point in time, slated not to play. But, again, we still have, what, 2 months to go?
That's right.
So it's right. A still wait and see on that, Wayne.
Well, I just thought that might, you know, kind of thrust him into the, you know, lineup a little bit, maybe get him some playing time. So I didn't get to see the Tennessee game, and I kind of missed out on it yesterday because I was enjoying the sun.
UK did lose, though, Wayne, so that was a good night.
You are spot on because with Fox being injured this past Saturday, and then Michael Mulder being on an extended sick leave, the Diallo chatter was picking up.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Five-star guy on the
bench. Yeah, sitting there. I mean, so we'll have to wait and see on that. But, Wayne, anything else?
Hey, that's it, man. Hey, appreciate you guys. Enjoy the cold weather. I'm going to enjoy some more sun.
Wayne, thanks for calling in, dude.
All right, back to the phone lines. We now have David joining us on Red Blue Hoops. David, go ahead.
Hey, Evan. So I have to admit I'm a Louisville fan. I mean, did you see the December 21st game against Louisville, you know, when Louisville kind of beat the Big Blue there? You know what I mean? What'd you think about that?
Well, thanks for that call. I did see the Louisville game because I do watch every UK game that they play during the season. And going into that game, Pitino was 1-8 versus Cal Perry at UK.
Right.
It was at Louisville. Louisville at the time was the number one defensive team in the nation. And I think Louisville ended up beating us by 3 that game.
73-73.
Yeah, 70-73. Louisville played extremely well. They shot the ball unusually well that night. I think that points a little bit to we've had some defensive issues this season. I think we are behind the traditional Calipari curve defensively. And that also showed its or reared its ugly head this week at Tennessee. But, yes, David, appreciate the call. And we did watch the Louisville game.
We did. I did too, actually.
So appreciate the phone calls. Phone lines are open at 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
So back to the Cats. We covered the South Carolina game. Again, a good win. One last note on that game. Malik Monk finally started to have better shot selection. And when he didn't have a three, he started to drive the ball more, which made a lot of people happy. Unfortunately, at Tennessee, he reverted back to some poor shot selection. So
he is so athletic.
He is.
Go to the basket. Let that open up your outside game, right?
No question about it. So last week on the show, I talked about us traveling to Tennessee, and I called it a trap game for UK, and sure enough, we fell into the trap. We lost by 2, 80-82. And unfortunately, Chad, I actually, due to the Knoxville curse, I may retire from the show tonight and not watch any more games because I learned this week that the Kentucky Wildcats have never won a national title the same year they lost in Knoxville.
It's over. So, well, might as well get ready for next year.
Yeah, I'll turn the microphone over to someone that wants to volunteer, Sam or Kate or Walker or whoever, but lost in Knoxville, so the season's over. But, no, back to the game. We were still missing Michael Mulder. Fox did play a little bit slow. But Roger Ayers was the ref.
I can't believe this stat. I still don't believe it. I got to hear it again.
Yeah. Though. Now, folks, listen in. Refereeing has been a hot topic, not just on Red Blue Hoops, but across college basketball this season. But when Roger Ayers referees a UK game, when Cal Perry has been the coach, Calipari's record is now 7-11. That is 39% winning percentage. Calipari has an 82% win percentage at UK. So statistically, we are behind the eight ball when he's refereeing a game. So he was there that night, and there were no questions. I don't hang my hat and blame losses on referees, but you have to look at some scenarios and say, wow.
If you're a gambler,
yeah,
you might want to find that game when Ayers is refereeing against Kentucky, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, shoot.
7-11 for 18 games.
That's incredible.
At Cal. He's also teed up Calipari more than any other ref. But, hey, that night showed us some more insight to our defensive problems that we're suffering this year. You hear me talk a lot about hip line, and that means when you are playing defense and your hips are higher than who you are guarding, you are out of proper defensive position in Calipari's system. And right now, De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, you can point out several scenarios where their hip line is way too vertical, way too high, and they're getting blown by, allowing straight line drives to the basket. We continually switch on defense.
That's a Calipari philosophy,
it is.
Right?
Switch every screen. And guess what? Tennessee, after one cycle in the offense, they had Bam guarding someone outside. Yeah. They took our defensive presence, rebounding presence away from the basket. That's very smart. It's a great idea.
It is.
On inbounds plays, I think I counted Tennessee scored with one pass on inbounds plays. That's a defensive problem. Something I haven't seen all season. For the first 25 minutes of the game, we were double-teaming, and we haven't done it all year. And giving open wide open shots. So a lot of head scratching on
Indiana
defense.
Indiana does a lot of double teams too. I don't understand that.
So we get down 11, I think was the largest deficit during the second half. Tennessee's rolling. They're playing really well, shooting the ball well. They're resisting our transition game. But we made a comeback. We made it a game. We got within three. We call a timeout. We come back in after the timeout. Monk swings to the left wing, hits the wet spot from the timeout.
Oh.
We were sitting on the bench, and he goes to the ground, and that was a big play. But there's no question that the Tennessee game is another example where I can fully recognize why certain UK fans would question some of Coach Calipari's coaching strategies during the game.
And I heard that this week from some of my Kentucky
brethren. You could definitely point to some certain decisions made in that game that would make you go, but – we'll see. I've learned to become more patient during the regular season
with
these young teams.
Absolutely.
But Bam was dominant, Chad. He was absolutely dominant. He's shooting well over 80% the last six games from the floor. When he got the ball, they couldn't stop him. The problem was, late in the game, we stopped throwing him the ball. That's got to change.
He reminds me of Chris Webber. If he's close to the rim in college, you remember how Webber is a dunk?
Absolutely.
I mean, just bam.
And bam. You just did pull that. Yeah, you did.
Incredible.
And he's now developed this drop step. When he gets the ball and he's able to present the drop step, it's an automatic dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, they cannot stop the guy. But, hey, credit to Tennessee. They had an excellent game plan. They executed the game plan, and they beat us on the road. But
hopefully life on the road.
Hopefully we can learn from that. We're going back to the phones.
Yes.
Shooter, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
The Shooter? No way.
Hey, Shooter. This is questions for Chad. Hey, Chad. This is Shooter from Hoosiers. I want to give you a quick call here. With Anobi's, obviously, injury here.
Yes.
Do you think Indiana has a chance here to maybe pull together and rebuild, obviously, like they did after the Notre Dame game when Blackman went down last year? And then how often do you think Blackman's going to go off for 33 with Crean's live by the three, die by the two concept? And did I just hear you say that Bam is like Chris Webber? I mean, are you serious right now? Chris Webber had an unbelievable cast around him, and obviously Fox is good. I know he's hurt, and Monk's good, and they've got a great rotation of players. But to compare Bam to Webber, that's crazy.
Hey, Shooter, I said he can dunk like Webber. You remember how Webber would finish around the basket? So that's all I was saying there.
He's a physical specimen.
He's a physical specimen like Webber,
that's,
too.
That's undeniable. Bam is an absolute physical specimen.
He's definitely huge. I will say this. I will say Bam has a lot more heart than Thomas Bryant. I think Bryant should
absolutely.
We should start Davis. I don't think Davis is as athletic as what Bryant is, but I think he's a better finisher around the rim.
He is. Stronger.
I think he's stronger, and I think he has a better defensive presence than what Thomas Bryant has. I think Thomas Bryant couldn't back himself out of a corner due to his footwork.
Yeah. Hey, Shooter, last week Chad referenced Thomas Bryant as a ironing board.
A walking ironing board.
How do you feel about that description of Thomas Bryant?
I think that is spot on. And the thing about Bryant is he shows up when he wants to show up. He does his pounding on the court, beating on the chest. And,
he does.
You know, this is supposed to be a lottery pick and, you know, a potential All-American. And what I've seen from him on the defensive end is he gets burned. And you had said something earlier, Kentucky guy, about the hips being
Kentucky
a place
guy, I like defense. It.
The thing is, on Crean's aspect is, the reason why we have to go in a different direction is, we're just going to outshoot you. There's no defense. You talk about the hips, you talk about the movement, you talk about the rotation. Indiana couldn't guard a pick and roll right now to save their life.
Well, that's Thomas Bryant,
Well, speaking of that.
We're getting ready to go at Michigan here in a little bit, and I think we're getting ready to get exposed on the road, a true road game. It's a must-win game for Tom Crean. No Anobi, right? And I'm hoping Davis steps up because
Shooter,
I have no faith.
Take a breath here, Shooter.
Not take like a breath. Hey, Shooter, to back up your comment about Indiana's defense is currently ranked 114th in the nation.
Yeah, and that's with a lot of cupcakes on the schedule, too.
Hey, well, that's. And I tell you what, that's an improvement.
Exactly. That's what I mean by that, yeah.
From where they were, that's an improvement. But, like, let's look at their schedule and see who they've played other than Wisconsin lately. You know what I mean? We're talking about the Penn States of the world, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, let's back up and look at their – I mean, we're talking about Rutgers, Penn State, at Maryland. They actually played well at Maryland. They just didn't do enough to win.
You're right.
Illinois is terrible.
Yeah.
The Wisconsin game. I mean, they haven't really played anyone, you know, worth mentioning. Here coming up soon, we have at Michigan, at Northwestern. Don't sleep at Northwestern. Collins has got those kids ready. They're going to make a tournament berth.
For
the first time ever.
Yeah, Northwestern is a good team.
You got Penn State at home, and then we're at Wisconsin. Purdue at home. The Purdue game scares me half to death. And one thing I wanted to bring up here before I get off is the Indiana kids. We're talking Purdue at home. You got Swain again. He's an Indiana kid. Who do we have from Indiana on this roster currently?
Zach McRoberts, brother.
Yeah, Zach McRoberts. I'm not a Zach McRoberts believer. He's
James Blackman. What about him?
He plays hard, but at the end of the day, he's not getting the Indiana kids that he needs to be successful. These other coaches are coming in and poaching our state. Okay, year after year, and listen, job, Anobi and Morgan, I got to give him credit, tip my hat to him.
Yeah.
Great three-star finds, but at the end of the day, you've got to win with Indiana kids. And, like, you look at this year's recruiting class, he's losing. Indiana's class is not ranked very high.
Oh, it's terrible.
We don't have a whole lot left in the cupboard.
It's a dumpster.
So, Shooter, here's
it's a recruiting dumpster fire.
I got one question for you, Shooter.
It really is a dumpster fire, sir. And then you look at the Kentucky game with Tennessee, and it gives me a little bit of hope. If Indiana hits their threes, and we know that they've canceled the Indiana-Kentucky game for the last few Decembers because they don't agree to play on a neutral court or a home court.
Shooter's covering everything in the past 5 years with Indiana and Kentucky basketball.
Shooter's ready. Shooter's ready. And all I have to tell you guys is this. If Indiana plays Kentucky and we hit our threes as without Anobi, and as long as Crean's not coaching.
Who is Anobi? I know Ananobi.
We have a chance. We have a chance.
My so thing saying is, there's a chance.
All right. That's good.
If Kentucky loses to Tennessee, okay, which Tennessee's a great team. They're not a great team. They're a good team. They're well coached, okay?
Yes.
But Indiana has the talent. So we're in the second round, third round of the tournament. Do you want to see a Kentucky-Indiana matchup?
No, yes,
I do. Yes, I do. I would love it. I would. I would welcome that matchup, rematch from last year.
Anything else, Shooter?
No.
Yes, Indiana lives and dies by the three at the end of the day.
All right.
If Johnson and Blackman hit the three, we're good to go. If they don't hit the three, we're going to lose.
Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Or Sweet 16.
All right.
You guys have a good night.
You too, Shooter. Thanks for calling, man.
Shooter, thank you so much for calling. You're a supporter of Red Blue Hoops. We have to go to break. We'll be right back. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. Phone lines are reopened after Shooter's diatribe there. It's 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
That goes down. That's in the Hall of Fame of calls right there.
That was incredible. We covered
Shooter.
He asked questions but didn't allow us to answer.
Shooter from the movie Hoosiers.
That's right.
Played by
Dennis Hopper. Yes.
Yep. Awesome.
Yes.
So, wow, the first segment flew by. We're going back to the phone lines. They're lighting up tonight.
They are lighting up.
This could be a sign that people like calling Kate more than Burger.
Burger could be in trouble.
Kate deserves a raise. Kim, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Well, I don't really have much to say.
Yeah, Shooter said it all, didn't he?
He did. But I was just wondering, Juwan Morgan, what kind of factor do you think he'll be in the game tonight?
Great question. He is likely to play. He has been out with an ankle injury. And Shooter asked the question earlier about how we could fare with Ananobi out. And I think if we can be fine, but Juwan Morgan has to play and be productive. So hopefully that starts tonight. He plays well. And I have to agree with Wayne on his call-in earlier. Indiana wins by four.
The bobblehead whisper.
The bobblehead whisper, yes. Absolutely.
Evan, a blue one, and you a red one.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. Hey, thanks for calling in. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You predicted it. You predicted this night was going to be wild.
I don't know. I just felt it.
What do you think, Sam? You having fun back there? A lot of giggling in the room.
I'm enjoying you guys, you know, getting your show taken over there.
That's awesome.
You had like a third host almost.
Red, Blue, and Shooter.
We're now going to the Shooter segment of Red Blue Hoops. Okay, talking about Morgan, what's the injury update right now for IU?
Well, unfortunately, Ananobi is out for the year. I believe he's having surgery this week. Colin Hartman, it does not look like he is coming back either. And then Juwan Morgan had a high ankle sprain. He should play tonight. That's the plan.
Okay. So OG, was that a ACL?
Yep.
Well, they don't. Did they ever
say? I don't know if they really ever said.
If they did, I never saw it.
I never did either.
I was wondering about that. So yeah. UK's injury front. Fox is back, a little bit hobbled, but hopefully we'll be back to closer to 100% when Kansas rolls in this Saturday to Rupp Arena. Michael Mulder was announced last night, out for another 10 days.
What's wrong with him?
They're calling it an illness. That's it. I did hear one radio host kind of have a little bit of a giggle.
Mono or something like that.
It must have been something. campus related. But going back to Twitter, this is for you, Chad.
Mr. Hurley?
Nope. Yeah, huh. Joe Hurley.
Joe Hurley, yeah.
Now, hold on now. Is that from a movie, Fletch? Wasn't there a Joe Hurley and Fletch?
I don't know.
Hey, Godsey, if you're listening, look that up for us. Fletch, there was like a Joe Hurley or Hurley or something like that. Anyway, Chad, Devontae Green has shown flashes of potential. How crucial will he be down the stretch?
That's a great, great question. Great question by Joe. Devontae Green is becoming a force for Indiana. I think he's going to be very detrimental down the stretch. And he is the best passer on Indiana's team. He has dropped some nice dimes to Thomas Bryant a couple of times on some dunks, which reminded me of Thomas Bryant last year because he had Yogi to dish him the ball. So Bryant's been playing a little better, and that may not be a coincidence. And Devontae Green, too, uber confidence. It's Danny Green's brother. Hit big
North
shots
Carolina
for
kid.
Spurs, for
yep.
Carolina.
Yep, good player.
Uber confidence. So he's going to play down the stretch. He's 6'3", strong, and he's just tenacious and is not scared, and that's what Indiana needs. He's taking more of Newkirk's minutes, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. So touch on your one game since last week's show.
Yeah, good point. We played Michigan State on Saturday and really handled that game well. Got up by 20. It got a little interesting at the end in standard IU form this year. But won 82-75. Two shout-outs for that. James Blackman, Jr., Evan, the last two games. 50 points, a buzzer beater, 17 of 30 from the field, 11 of 21 from three.
He's on fire.
Yeah, and your co-host, Mr. CP, right here, said it's James Blackman's team.
You called it just like yeah. We're
Nostradamus yeah. again coming right. back.
My question for you, I find it fascinating. You know, we're just people watching games from the couch. But why do Big Ten coaches continually allow Blackman to go right? Like someone like Tom Izzo, who's pretty good at coaching.
I don't know the answer to that. I will say that Blackman is looking a lot healthier, and he's going stronger to the right, and he's being able to pull up and jump and shoot over people. But, yeah, down the stretch, I think I was telling you offline, at Fort Wayne, yeah, they pushed Blackman to the left, and he dribbled the ball off his foot, I think, because he just couldn't finish.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's interesting. And you know,
he can't go left.
He can't. So.
And he's a junior.
He's a junior.
So why – okay, let me ask you a question. Hand. Yeah, playing for a – well, some people consider it a major program. I think Indiana's more like a mid-major, but
– oh, boy.
That was a bad dig.
Oh,
but,
boy, that was.
But he's a junior at Indiana. He still can't go left. Wonder why. Wonder what's going on there. I think Indiana has an excellent coaching staff for developing shooters.
They
no
do.
Question about
they
it.
Do.
They can flat shoot the basketball. But how can James Blackman, with all that talent, still not go left?
Yeah.
This is mind-boggling. But anyway.
That is interesting.
Well,
you know, back to the Michigan State real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, sure.
So Izzo has lost three games in a row. They're 12-9, and it's just interesting how fickle college basketball is.
Wow.
You know, they were the number two seed last year, great team. They lose that first-round game against Middle Tennessee. They're 12-9, and what's happening? The boosters in Michigan State, East Lansing, are getting antsy.
And it's another tremendous example of how hard it is
absolutely.
To win with freshmen. It was his highest-ranked recruiting class
yep.
at Michigan State, and he is getting booed by his fans.
Yes.
You had Coach K's most talented recruiting class at Duke, and he's gone by the wayside. He's so scared. They're terrible. So
his back hurts, Evan.
Exactly. And this, once again, is one of the defending points of Cal Perry of how – great of a coach he is by taking freshmen year in and year out and winning 82% of the time.
And except winning, when he plays, he coaches against Roger, what's his name?
Roger Ayers.
Roger Ayers, yeah.
I mean, he's been to the Final Four four times. It's just crazy. But,
it is. It's impressive.
We're going back to the phones. Alan, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Missed your first couple shows of the year, but finally got to catch up with you tonight. Glad that I did.
Nice.
Did I hear you right a while ago? Did you really call IU mid-major?
Well, Alan, you did hear me correctly, and there's a little bit of a background to that. It was kind of a joke, but we did a study offline during the off-season training that Chad and I do, And the statistics for your last 20 years, it points to a mid-major type performance based on your depth into the tournament, your lack of Final Four appearances, things of that nature. That's all we're talking about, just statistics.
Okay.
He's just throwing arrows at us, Alan.
Well, I won't say this in a smart aleck type way, but at least we have beat UK the last two times we played them.
That's right. That's a great point.
That's actually a 100% false statement.
And
that's a false statement, Alan. We beat you in the 2012 Sweet 16 in Atlanta on the way to our national championship.
Two out of three. How about that? Two out of three.
That is correct. Two out of three.
Yeah.
But don't forget, there was a 22-game run that we were 17-5 against you guys. So let's calm down about the UKIU trash talk here. And we are celebrating our 30-year anniversary of your last title this year.
That worm is going to turn, man. I can't wait.
Alan, you have anything else for us tonight?
Yeah. When it comes to McRoberts.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. He's not the best kid out there on the floor. The thing that you have to commend McRoberts on, the kid goes out, plays his heart out. He gets burned a few times during the game. Sure he does. But he's out there and does anything that is asked of him. And I think in the overall looking at him, he's not just teetotally 100% solid, but he's not that bad of a defensive kid.
He really
scraps. You know, if you want to see somebody on the floor, he's more than willing to get down there and roll around with anybody. He doesn't care. He's after the ball. The shooter, you know, that was really kind of hounding on him. I mean, I do understand, you know, no, he's not no four-star kid that, you know, was number 97.
Right.
But he is a kid that plays with his heart, and he puts out the effort. And for the injuries that we've got going on right now, we better be darn glad that we've got him.
I agree. I was the first couple shows, I was real critical of McRoberts, but to your point, I felt like he set the tone in the Michigan State game early. He just plays hard, makes our defense better. And a funny story with him, he made a comment that he was on a bad intramural team last year in college, and now he's starting for Indiana. How about that? That's incredible, isn't it? Only in America. Yeah.
Exactly. And one thing, and then I'm out of here and I'll let you guys go.
No problem.
Going back to 2012 on the IU-Kentucky thing, all I said was the last two.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The last two include we lost in the tournament to you guys last year, but we beat you in 2012 in the tournament.
And then the Watt shot was actually in 2011.
It was the fall, December. Fall semester of that season.
I apologize. Totally my bad.
You're good.
Oh, no.
I was including the Watt shot, and I was thinking that was after that. But,
no.
Okay. Yeah, you guys are exactly right. I totally messed that one up.
Well, see, that's no worries there.
Hey, Alan, actually, you may find this surprising, but as a rabid UK fan, I actually am thankful for the Watt shot because that helped Calipari take that young team and build them into a national championship team. That loss at IU was the launching pad. It helped us take a sulking Terrence Jones and turn him into a near All-American by the end of the year.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So thank you, Alan, for the call. We appreciate your support.
Thank you, Alan.
Hoops. We are wrapping up our second segment here. We're going to break. We'll be right back to celebrate the 30-year anniversary of Indiana's last title. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
Back here with the blues guitar, Red Blue Hoops.
That was me playing.
Chad on the blues guitar.
Yeah.
Hey, we had some fact checking there. Jim Geise tweeted in that was Ed Harley in the movie Fletch.
And to your point, Joe Hurley is a real person.
Oh, it's a real name.
It's a real name. Cool. I know him. Good guy.
Folks, this has been an absolutely fantastic show so far. We got Sam and Kate kicking it. Walker doing an excellent job on the internship here. And again, it's our special segment this year. We're celebrating Indiana's 30-year anniversary since their last national championship, 1987. What were you doing then, folks? Most of the people working the show tonight weren't even born.
Oof.
In fact, three out of five people working the show tonight were not born the last time you guys hung a banner.
And I was nine, still wearing diapers.
You were still wearing diapers.
Yeah.
So going to the movie list, folks, we're up to number 14. Number 14 movie in 87 was Dragnet.
Incredible movie.
Starring
Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd.
Pretty funny movie, actually.
It was. It was great.
And that was kind of a movie from an black and white show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That was good.
So in the 13 slot, another comedy, Throw Mama from the Train.
Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito and that old lady. I don't know what her name is. That's a good one, though, too.
Both movies grossed just under $58 million that year. All right, moving to the top 20 songs of 1987. These are really weak. Really weak. Number 14, Always by Atlantic Star. I don't even recognize that title. Number 13, Don't Dream It's Over. I think that's appropriate for Indiana basketball.
Oh, man.
And
it's on fire tonight, dude.
And that was by Crowded.
Coming off a loss.
That was by Crowded House. Don't Dream It. Actually, that song would apply to me since we lost in Knoxville and the Knoxville curse that we never win a national title.
It's true.
Actually, that song applies
to
both.
So you still have a shot.
Folks, there we go. Celebrating the 30-year anniversary. If you have any special memories you'd like to share via Twitter.
Oh, I got one.
All right. Bring it, Chad.
Kentucky was 18-11 and got beaten the first round of the tournament that year.
First or second round?
I think it was the first.
Rex Chapman?
Eddie Sutton. I think Rex was a freshman that year. Does that seem right?
We lost to Villanova.
Was it?
Or Ohio State. It was. We lost to Ohio State and then Villanova in back-to-back years. And that was the Rex Chapman years, I think. But we'll have the intern verify that here in just a second.
Indiana did beat Kentucky that year, like 75-70, I think. It was a close game.
That was when we were heading into our really bad stretch. You know, the probation years follow that and all that kind of stuff. So think about us. You guys hang a banner in 87, then we follow that by probation. We were down in the dumps. So anyway, who lose to in the tournament in 87, Walker? Oh, he's looking. Okay, sorry about that, folks. We'll get back to that story. So let's get things back under control here. Where do we stand here on our agenda? Let's talk about the top 10 this week.
Oh, man. Everybody got beat.
The meat grinder.
Absolutely.
Late January. I remember when I was a kid and Hall of Fame Joe B. Hall was coaching Kentucky. And I remember I always found it fascinating how Kaywood Lefford would talk about the January slumps. Because Joe B. Hall had a history of losing two or three games in a row in late January.
Yes.
And it became a very consistent scenario for Joe B.
Yeah.
So this week kind of plays into that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So who all lost this week on the road in the top eight? Five of the top eight folks lost this week.
Kansas
got
lost.
Got smoked at
they
West
did.
Virginia.
West Virginia. I know that. Kentucky, obviously,
at Tennessee. We had UCLA lost to USC and Arizona.
Villanova.
Lost to Marquette.
And by the way, fact check from last week, I called Villanova's guard Jason Hart. It's Josh Hart.
Josh Hart.
Jason Hart was a guard for Syracuse,
good
actually,
up
in the
mid-90s. I like good stats follow-up like that.
Yeah.
But did we touch on all the losses? Is that
Florida
everybody?
Florida State.
Florida State got hammered by Georgia Tech.
A bad Georgia
Lost
Tech team.
Lost by 32 or so?
I think so, yeah.
So the theme is, folks, the top 10 got their you-know-what handed to them this week in college basketball. So
and then Duke is doing their thing. You know,
well, Duke
like three
is
out of five lost.
I watched that game. That was fascinating. Duke was up. Duke should have won. They completely collapsed against North Carolina State.
They don't have a point guard.
First time North Carolina State has won at Duke since 95.
I saw that. Which was is that the year that Coach K was out with his back?
Probably the third time he was out, but no, that wasn't it.
It was 94 or 95.
I think it was 95.
Yeah,
he pulled the old broken back story.
Yeah.
So also this week, have you ever heard the rule of 71 in college basketball?
I have not.
The rule of 71, and there are amazing stats backing this up. The first team to get to 71 wins 80-some-odd percent of the games. 98%.
No way.
Roger
wow.
that.
Wow.
First team to 71. It happened in the Kentucky-Tennessee game. And guess what? Marquette never led until they got to 72.
No kidding.
And they won. So start following that.
It's interesting.
So if you get to 71 before Michigan does tonight, you can turn the TV off and go to bed.
That's right.
Guaranteed win
That's
almost.
Right. That's right.
So all you listeners, think of how much you guys are the listeners are learning tonight. Rule of 71, the Roger Ayers.
It's incredible.
How about this one, Chad? You were a great three-point shooter. Are you still?
Wait, yeah. That's an R, A-R-E.
Okay, all right. Gotcha.
All right.
Real quick, we have some intern data here from Walker. UK lost to Ohio State. It was an 8-9 seed game that year. Yeah. Oh, and Duke, they were up 7 points in that game late and lost. 76. Yep. How about this? Malik Monk,
yeah.
Three-point shooting percentage on the road is 28%. Three-point shooting percentage on a neutral court, 51%. Where are tournaments played? Neutral courts.
That's right.
I love that stat.
That's pretty strong.
He's really struggled in conference road games this year.
Which he scored 47, and that was neutral court against Carolina. Right?
It's funny. We say he struggled, but when he struggles, he's still scoring 20-something points. But you watch the game, it's just the guy's a freak. He's really good.
He is.
So let's talk about that special meeting we mentioned in the opening of the show that occurred last Friday. And this hits right at home for us here at Red Blue Hoops. The NCAA hosted a meeting, kind of an open-minded think tank meeting with several people from the statistical ranking systems. As an example, Ken Pomeroy of Ken Pom was there.
Not Can Pie.
Not Can Pie, okay. That Ben Shoulders used to call it, okay. But Ken Pomeroy of Ken Pom. Jeff Sagarin of Sagarin Ratings. Mm-hmm. On the list goes on and on and on and on. The NCAA is finally coming to the table and giving consideration to utilizing a different statistical system to set the brackets for March Madness.
I like it.
What are your thoughts on that?
I like it. It's it gets interest going early, similar to the football, announcing their top four or their top 25, but it gets it going about 8 weeks into the season.
That's right.
So lets people know where things stand. I like it.
But if you guys are interested in learning more about that, CBS posted an article today where the reporter spoke to every person that was in attendance of that meeting except for one person, and the feedback was pretty fascinating. So for us here at Red Blue Hoops, we invented the RBH index. So this is right down our alley of statistical
rankings. I
wonder if that's
going to be on there. Were you at that meeting?
Well, they should have called us.
They should have called you.
Hey, Sam, did they call us and you didn't tell us about that meeting up at Indianapolis with the NCAA? What? No?
No.
No call? Okay.
She was.
Well, maybe.
She's getting serious.
Maybe they'll call us next week.
Yeah, we're looking for that call.
Speaking of the RBH index, Chad, last week you guys were trending upward. I think you reached a point of about 32.5. This week you have fallen just a little bit.
37?
37.75 in the RBH index. Okay. Kentucky has fallen as well. We've gone from 2.5 down to 3.5. To give you a little bit of a summary, Indiana's offense is currently ranked 9th in the nation.
Strong.
Defense, 114.
Not strong.
Kentucky's offense comes in at number 2, and I still shake my head at this one. Defensively, we're still sitting at 15, and defense for us right now is our Achilles heel. It is what it is.
It's weird. A lot of teams now, like UCLA, all of a sudden they can't guard anybody. And
you know what happens? Conference.
It is.
Coaches are familiar.
Scouting.
Players are familiar.
Absolutely.
My brother from Atlanta always says when he analyzes coaches, he only looks at their conference records. Only. Like if he's making a short list for potential future coaches at UK, he studies their conference winning percentages closely. It's where the rubber meets the road.
It is. You get everybody's best shot because you're scouted every
absolutely
scouted very well every night.
Yep.
That's interesting.
It is. Let's talk about some upcoming games. talk about tonight a little bit more.
That's right. So Indiana plays at Michigan tonight, and I was saying earlier, Michigan is a four-point favorite in that game, which surprises me, actually. But it is a road game. IU has not played extremely well on the road. For some hope for the Hoosier fans, we match up well against Michigan. Defensively, they struggle. Indiana, ninth-ranked offense in the country. Last year, Indiana fans, if you remember, and it's one of the best runs that I've ever seen watching live, IU was down 24-20 at Michigan with 9 minutes to go in the game in the first half. IU finished that half on a 25-0 run.
I remember that.
45-24 at halftime. Ananobi hit a three and a two to start the second half. It was a combined 30-0 run.
I do remember
on
that.
The road.
Wow.
So that was impressive. So I feel good about it. I need them to come through. I'm actually going to be at a concert tonight.
Whoa,
that was
pre-planned. Whoa, time out.
I know.
Chad's not watching the IU game tonight, Sam.
Well, why are you not watching it?
Don't tell my wife. I'll be at the concert, but I do have the ESPN app, so I'll be...
So are you going to like be just kind of glancing at your screen on your phone like during the concert?
I'm not going to kind of be doing
He's going to be doing Gunpowder and Lead karaoke with Miranda Lambert.
That's right.
At the Ford Center
Old Dominion.
Tonight.
Boom.
That'll be fun, actually.
It'll be fun. Looking
forward
to it.
She's an excellent concert.
Yeah. So then just we play at Northwestern on Sunday. And that's not going to be an easy game. They're playing
Time
really
channel,
well.
Time channel, Sunday.
5:30, Big Ten Network.
Okay. All right. I can catch that game. At Northwestern?
At Northwestern.
Okay, that's a potential.
Okay. Northwestern is 16-4, won four games in a row, looking to make the tournament for the first time ever, actually. So that's not going to be easy. So on the flip side, that could be a big win, though, if we can get that.
Sure. Wonder what Northwestern's KenPom ranking is. Let's check
Good
that out,
question.
Intern. So that's your upcoming games, Michigan and Northwestern. Okay, we
I
have.
I am going to call it real quick.
Sure, go
2-0.
Ahead.
We're going undefeated.
You're
again.
Going undefeated.
Yeah.
IU's 30,
Northwestern's 31. Northwestern's 31 and KenPom, IU's 30.
It's a good matchup.
How about that?
Yeah. Who you guys got?
We have a monster of a game this Saturday in Rupp Arena, Lexington, the capital of college basketball, as we call it. We are hosting the number 2-ranked Kansas Jayhawks.
That's right. We already beat them, FYI.
You did. So it's another common opponent we have it on is. This year's schedule. We've already had North Carolina, which we both beat.
Yeah.
You played them at home.
We did.
Beat them by 7.
Yep. No, beat them by 9. 76-67.
Beat them by 9. We played North Carolina neutral, 1-3. It's yes. when Monk dropped 47.
Yep.
We also have the common opponent of Michigan State. We played them neutral, 1-21.
Yes.
And you guys just beat them by recently.
7. 7. 82-75.
So we have another Kansas Jayhawks. Oh, Louisville. Yeah,
ooh,
we lost. And
that's right.
We both lost.
Yeah,
forgot
both
three
lost.
Already. So,
yeah.
So, folks, Kansas Jayhawks into Rupp Arena this weekend. We have the infamous ring announcer, Michael Buffer. You know, the, let's get ready to rumble.
Absolutely.
He is going to kick the game off and do some pregame announcing. He's coming back to Lexington for the second time this season as he did the player introductions at this year's Big Blue Madness, Midnight Madness show. Kansas brings in a duo or a trio of veteran guards against our young guards.
Yeah,
that's
going to
be an interesting matchup.
Yeah.
They have a phenomenal freshman by the name of Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
He scores at a position that we've had struggles guarding this year. So I'm concerned about
it.
So watch Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
Where we could have an advantage is Bam Adebayo on the interior. Kansas has lost an interior player to an injury. Bam is improving game in and game out, shooting over 82% the last 6 games. If our guards will be disciplined in getting Bam the ball more so than they have in the past, Bam will dominate. He no one can stop the kid. He's unstoppable.
He backs him in, and he turns, and he goes.
He just
bam.
He bams.
That's right.
Both teams coming off losses, obviously. I mean, Kansas got rolled pretty good at West Virginia. Now, West Virginia is an excellent team, and that's a tough place to play. My key to that game for us, ball movement by our guards. We have gone backwards a little bit the last game and a half. Now, one of those games is because Fox was hurt, but at Tennessee, I saw the ball sticking in hands a little bit too long. So ball movement's real
yes.
important.
Yes.
So, Chad, tell us about your U of E update this week. A little sad trail of tears at U of E right now.
It's
kind
of rough in purple land right now. Unfortunately, UE has lost 7 in a row. The other night played
7 in a row.
They were 10-5. Lost at Northern Iowa the other night. Yeah, it's a tough run there. And unfortunately for Coach Simmons, Illinois State comes to town Saturday. Illinois State is unbeaten in the conference, and I think they're a tourney team. Them and Wichita State are in position to both make the tournament. I
agree with that.
Very good. So going to be tough, but come out to the Ford Center, help the Aces out there.
USI Screaming Eagles, folks, they have gone through that little five-game stretch that we highlighted a few weeks ago of being a tough stretch. They only lost one of those games, and that was to a highly ranked Bellarmine team.
Bellarmine, that's right.
So they are 18-1. They're 8-1 in the conference. USI has won two in a row. I love these stats. They're still averaging a scoring margin of over 22 points a game.
Solid.
They're averaging a positive rebounding margin of 10 rebounds a game more than their opponent. They're averaging 17 assists a game. So those guys are playing some basketball. Need to get out to the pack and watch the Screaming Eagles if you guys can.
Yeah, good call.
They are on the road tonight at St. Joseph's, and then again they're on the road Sunday at University of Indianapolis. So,
and I think those are two winnable games for
them. I think so too. Chad, we're into our last 50 seconds. Any final thoughts on tonight's show or upcoming games?
Yeah, I just Indiana's going to get – I think they're going to get two wins. And for IU fans, two road wins and then 3 of 4 at home. So there is a nice opportunity here
there
to
is.
Compile some wins
this
in
is
that
when,
resume.
This is your chance to either solidify your tournament position or
yes.
not.
Yes.
So Kentucky, I've talked about Kansas. We also have Georgia, the Bulldogs, coming in Rupp Arena next Tuesday night. And looking forward to those two games this Saturday in Rupp Arena will be an awesome show, folks. So if you
where
can
are you
tune
gonna watch
in,
that game?
Section 30, row V, seat 1.
So you are in there.
We are in Rupp.
Nice.
Folks, we really appreciate your support of Red Blue Hoops. Tonight was a fantastic show. We appreciate your calls and tweets. We'll be back next week here on WNIN. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors. Dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Samantha Horton. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.